Awesome. All right, we got everybody here. We're good to go. We're all noggled up. This might be the most noglified episode of ZeroPod so far. I don't know if we've had it where every single person on the pod has had the noggles on. So, well done, everybody.
A lot
this
of nog.
Nice.
A lot of nog.
Tim's dream. We're all wearing his noggles.
Wow. I'm realizing mine are so reflective that I've got to be careful what screens I have open. I'm gonna close all my down porn.
What is that incognito? Real. What's that incognito tab I just saw open? Board Ape Yacht Club. What are you looking at? No. Welcome back to Zero Rights Reserved, the podcast about nouns, DAOs, Ethereum, NFTs, and more, brought to you by the Noun Square Media Collective. I'm your host, Tody Hawk. Our co-host for this week is Joshua Fisher. And our wonderful, wonderful guests are Chris Waters and Eric Towner from Stupid Buddy Studios. You might know them from some awesome creations such as Robot Chicken, Marvel's MODOK, Crossing Swords on Hulu, all the costumes from Fox's Masked Singer. I bet you didn't know that one. And of course, a full feature-length documentary about nouns that is going to be released soon, TM. I think we're going to hear more about that today as we get right into it. So welcome to Chris and Eric. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Awesome. Thanks for having us. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So that's me. That's all I'm here for. So I'm going to leave you with Josh. No, I'm just kidding.
No, Josh is doing this interview. This is going to get control. Who is this guy?
I'd love to hear maybe the backstory on this dynamic duo. I'd love to hear a little bit about how Stupid Buddy came to be and how you guys came together and sort of what's your artistic journey. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Oh, where to begin?
We're going way back to the
Where did you go to high school?
Start with the Winnebago and we'll go from there.
Okay. We'll skip high school. We'll go to the Winnebago. In a previous life, I was a full-time animator, really working. I was animating on early seasons of Robot Chicken, like season two. Got my start there, and me and an animator buddy of mine, this is like circa 2008, thought to ourselves, gosh, how hard could it really be to run and own an animation studio? That seems easy. Let's do that. terrible timing. This is like right before the entire economy crashed, like later in 2008. Luckily, the first iteration of the studio is just out of a garage. So very like startup story, you know, working out of a garage. The Winnebago was our first office. So a 1972 Winnebago, which we purchased on Craigslist for like $1,000 for a project, became, you know, kind of like our headquarters, like our mobile headquarters. And luckily we outgrew the garage space within a couple of months.
By the way, very nounish.
Very nounish beginnings. Like feel very kindred spirits with this community.
It's like the opposite of Walter White. It's like pure joy and happiness happening inside.
The thing is, we absolutely should have been cooking meth out of the Winnebago.
I was going to ask, potentially lucrative
financially, but I don't know.
No, that's how you should fund animation and passion projects. You know, before Nouns Out is
with by meth.
Yeah, drugs should have been our path.
I had down here, what would you change if you could go back? So I'll just cross that one out.
Yes. Meth, the Winnebago would have definitely been the, in hindsight, 2020.
Do you guys still have the Winnebago?
We have multiple Winnebagos. We have
in the dock. It's in the dock. You'll see the dock. Yeah.
We actually drove, well, Winnebago V3 to the Rose Parade that morning. It was like 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, we got a lot of shit we got to load up. We got all these noggles we got to take. We've got costumes. You know, we needed some space. And as I was driving, and this thing is kind of a bumpy ride, I'm like, there is no parking. You know, there is no parking. I'm like, this just seems sketchy. I don't think we're going to get in. This thing could very well break down on the way to Pasadena, even though it's like a, you know, 15-mile drive. Luckily, it all worked out perfectly. But yeah,
I feel like a Winnebago is like a ladder. Like, you know, they say if you have a ladder, you can walk into any venue. Like, if you pull up in a Winnebago, they just like kind of like assume you're fine. Like, yeah, that's like,
we actually did that.
We definitely were like, oh no, we belong here. Like,
yeah, we're the Winnebago crew. Like,
Would we be driving a Winnebago if we weren't like staffed?
Yeah.
Not only that, I'm also holding a clipboard.
Yeah.
Doesn't get more special than that.
Get anywhere with a clipboard in Winnebago. Passports of life.
That's right. I've heard the clipboard one before, not the ladder one. I feel like Joshua might have been making his life a little harder than necessary by always carrying a ladder around.
Well, when was the last time you carried a ladder? They're never
That's the point. Like, if you show up to the venue with a ladder, you're fine.
Yeah.
That's how Joshua also got into the short shorts.
A reflective vest and a helmet. I think that too, you could pretty much go anywhere. So people are like, oh,
that's actually how I got into the Rose Parade and ended up walking next to the floats because I just had a ladder and they just let me walk wherever I wanted.
That's actually why he almost got run over by the float. He had a ladder on his shoulder and he was like
it was a little bit heavy.
All right. We've gone firmly off course already. Our Winnebago is already in the ditch, but that's okay. We can tow it out. All right. So you mentioned that you were doing some animation on early Robot Chicken. What was it like to start your own studio at that time in animation? You mentioned the economy wasn't great, but it was kind of a great time for animation.
It was, you know, it was an exciting time. Like everything was really exciting. We were just so boldly going into uncharted territories. And I think, again, the hindsight thing is, yes, we should have been cooking meth, but the other thing is, if we knew what we were doing and if we knew how hard the business side would be, we might not have done it at all. So it's just like one of those things of like being kind of blissfully naive is just kind of gave us that feeling like, well, we've got nothing to lose. Let's just take a stab and see what happens. And it was great. And it was, you know, like all the projects were really exciting early days. Everything was super scrappy. And I feel like we've, you know, kind of stayed close to our roots of like when we can and when we need to, let's just roll up our sleeves. Let's get in there. Let's make things happen. So that hasn't changed. And like culturally, I think we always had this idea. Well, let's create this studio that we as animators or as artists would want to work for. You know, and this is, again, like in our experience, we had worked at studios where it's like, wow, let's see how much money we can make. You know, it was run by people with like real estate backgrounds, or, you know, they just didn't really connect, or they maybe weren't passionate about the work that was actually being done. So, you know, part of our ethos was culturally like, let's just make this very artist friendly.
It's like, I think Gandhi once said, be the studio you want to animate for, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah.
That inspiration.
Towner actually has that Gandhi quote tattooed on his arm.
Can we see that? Can we get a tattoo tour? Would be really good for TikTok, actually.
Yeah. I just don't want to like do the gun show thing. Like people, the muscles are actually really big.
Obviously, Robot Chicken always comes up because it's such an awesome show that you guys did. But you've done so much. I'd love to ask you each individually, what's your favorite project that you've worked on that's not Robot Chicken and not the Nouns Doc?
Sure. I guess I'll go first, Chris, because I think you know what my answer is going to be. I directed, and this goes back now almost 10 years, a project called Micro Mayhem. That if you search for like Micro Mayhem Vimeo, it will be the first thing that comes up. It's like a 2-minute short that was a real passion project of like using my childhood micro machines.
Oh, nice.
As like a stop motion animated kind of love letter to like car cinema and chase cinema.
That's cool.
And we came up with a camera that was small enough to make a micro machine look, you know, big or big-ish. And so that's a project that I've loved being a part of. Since we did that initial short, we have developed this out into a full series that Chris is a big part of. Chris, I don't know what we can say, what we're doing with that right now. It's in the oven. That bun's in the oven.
So was this in cooperation with Micro Machines? Like they were on board with it, or you just kind of used them as a prop?
You know.
Can't say.
they love the creative, I'm sure.
I'll say the first iteration was actually with a Micro Machine that's on Towner's desk right now. But subsequently, we've designed all our own cars and 3D modeled them and printed them and painted them. And it's a slightly different scale than Micro Machines and just a different look, but that's the original car. Again, if you're watching this podcast, pause, go look up Micro Mayhem Vimeo and you'll see it was a Vimeo staff pick. And it's the reason that I'm in Stupid Buddy. I love that short. So Towner says that, which is also my favorite thing we've ever done. You know, it's very difficult to make shorts and to get people to fund making shorts, which is why we've been doing that through Nouns. But we finally, I think, figured out a way to get that project into the universe. So hopefully...
You got the wheel spinning, as it were?
We got the wheel spinning. We're in the driver's seat. You know, we're out of neutral. We're in
off to the races.
Yeah.
Any other cliches? Anyone
would like to... But then also,
Toby, keep going. Just do it.
Yeah, yeah. The puns they drive some people crazy. But but switching lanes. Another favorite project. I'm just trying to say things that people can immediately go watch would be Blark and Son, which is another, I think, hallmark Stupid Buddy project, and that it just looks different. It was made like Micro Mayhem. It was made in partnership with Ben Bayuth and Adam Azaraf, who Ben was our head of puppets at Stupid Buddy, and the guys, you know, loved what he was doing. And it was basically a family show about broken families, and it's about this ancient Vietnam vet dad and his doughy video game playing son, who's played by Chris Mintz-Plasse. And it's just a really fun exploration of what it means to create without the guardrails of a network or anybody getting in the way in terms of nodes. And again, sometimes nodes are great, but it's also really fun to just make something. And for that, we made 50 shorts, put them on Instagram, and we got more funding from Go90, if we all remember that platform. And we made a bunch of 8-minute shorts, and then Go90 went under and they gave them to us, and we sold them to Comedy Central, and then Comedy Central ordered more shorts. Now we just are in process of delivering some more content for that. And hopefully it will live on in another form. But that one I'm really proud of, just because it really connected with audiences. I think it really had a big impact in terms of just the comedy, but also the heart of the show. And so it's everything I think entertainment should be and comedy should be, which is funny and irreverent and silly and crazy, but also make us feel a little closer to each other and not a little less cynical. So those would be a couple, Chris, of the projects. Really everything we do, I love.
When you did those projects and you got to work with all those different animators, like, could you speak to any of the impact that it had on them? Like being able to do shorts and being able to just express yourself. You know, I think, you know, Eric, what you're saying about just being able to have that creative freedom was like one of your favorite moments, even though you've done amazing things that you're really proud of and that I'm sure you have a lot of fun doing, just that complete kind of like, well, yeah, like the buck does stop here with me because I'm just making this.
Yeah, I mean, Towner, I feel like you're an animator. You should answer that question. Just like, what's it like when someone's like, here's a check, go make something?
It's just a very rare opportunity. It's a very special opportunity to be funded to make something of your own. That's a passion project. So much of what animators will usually do, and myself included, is you just ask for all the favors. You cheat Rob Steele to like see your vision come to life, and you're like literally rolling up your sleeves and doing everything. And that's, you know, I was working on a short when we, you know, outside of my day job at Robot Chicken, I was working on a short which became the catalyst and the reason that we bought the Winnebago was to make this short. And I remember needing to, like, you just can't do it for free. Like, that's the thing is, like, you know, you're either reinvesting your own time or your own money. And it can, you know, there's a lot of animators that I've known that could spend 4 or 5 years making their passion project. And there's something to be said about, like, to actually be funded and to be given a legitimate deadline. Like, deadlines are great because your idea may be so of the moment or so relevant that if you spend 4 or 5 years on it, then maybe it loses its like part of its magic, which we
that kind of hard to capture the zeitgeist on a 4 to 5 year.
Yeah. Holiday. And we've noticed that in like just going the traditional studio route of pitching ideas. And it's like, God, this idea would be amazing now. And then cut to like 6 months of getting a deal done and, you know, a year and a half of like development and notes and navigating all that. And the project could be great, but it could just be slightly less relevant at that time.
Towner started doing a project in you in 2019. And it's almost ready. It's about a global pandemic. It should be.
No, global
perfect timing.
It's yeah. about preventing one, you know.
Oh, but right. We're, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. We're done with it.
Yeah.
Just in time.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember, you know, just asking, you know, friends to help finance my parents instead of like anything. I was just like, hey, what about, you know, like invest in this project because this project could be the beginning of something, and really hustling, like really hustling up, you know, like $10,000 or even less than that. And that went into the project. And then, you know, it just so happens that that project was the first project we sold as a studio. The Winnebago became the office. Like, we made the most of that money. But I think that what we're doing with the shorts program now and the opportunity we have to enable amazing animators to realize their passion projects and have, you know, have some money to do it. And everybody's going to go above and beyond because it's theirs, you know, and they get to express themselves fully. It represents who they are. So we know everybody's going to go above and beyond, but to have some resources to get something done, speaking as an animator, I think it's just such an incredible opportunity. I can't even really think of one historically that's existed the same way. I mean, there's been networks that have done shorts programs where there's some financing and money available. And
yeah, they want control too, to some extent, right?
Yeah, and then also they come with strings attached. So it's like, we'll fund you to make a short, but you need to run every process of the stage of the process through our system, and then also we own it at the end of it.
Yeah. Right? Oh, by the way, it's ours.
Yeah. Yeah. So
thanks for your storyboards, all your characters are all.
Thanks for your best idea that you've ever had.
Like, kind of like the opposite of CC0 in a way.
The opposite of CC0, and again, like, that's no knock. That's their business model, and they live and die on IP and things like that, but. I think that is a system that's, you know, increasingly owned by fewer and fewer conglomerates and big corporations. I know when we've sold stuff and we've tried to negotiate, you know, the definitions on things, these things are like sent to us as like photocopies of PDFs, not even PDFs. And they have no power to change those deals because those
Wait,
deals.
Wait, do they fax them to you?
Yeah, all it is to say is there's not a lot of negotiation that happens around key terms in those kind of deals. So again, that's the business model. I think where Nouns can come in is nobody is doing this. Nobody is doing what Nouns is now committed to do through the passing of this latest prop and the original one. And what we're excited about is we approached 20 artists the first time around to do 17 shorts. Almost all of them said yes. There were a couple people that I think just wanted to wait and see. And I think after seeing the stuff that came out of the first one, they'll be on board in the second one. But I think, you know, being able to attract some of the best animators in the world to give them the gift of creative freedom and community, like a community that's going to embrace their ideas and community with each other. The fact that this is part of a very cool alumni association now, if you've done a Nouns short,
yeah,
all of that. And then having now real resources to actually do a really cool festival, like those are all just things we're so excited about. And we think really make Nouns, you know, I think you always got to figure out like what can Nouns do better than anybody else? And this is one of those things that this is something Nouns can really do and only Nouns can do because they don't have the same considerations that big giant corporations have.
Yeah. When I was listening to Eric just a minute ago, I was thinking that you could use like the motto of like, we're trying to make this so that no artist ever has to call their parents and ask for money again. You know what I mean? Like, no artist ever has to ask their parents for $10,000 again.
Yeah. Fixing that artist part. Needs to cook and sell meth to, you know.
Yeah, I should have never brought up Breaking Bad. I should have just never brought that one up.
You set Headline. Us on this course. You set us on this course. So
yeah. The takeaway from the podcast, the town of regrets not selling meth.
That's definitely going to be the Cointelegraph headline for sure.
That's funny.
Yeah.
100 notes. No. So we skip ahead a little bit here, but I think that's okay. And I think we can maybe have a broader conversation about this prop and the previous prop and then come back to the documentary a little later in the interview. So what we're talking about here to reset for the listener is Proposal 397, which just passed last week. Called Noun Stories, Stupid Buddies, Shorts Galore. This is the second prop that Noun Stories has had passed. Maybe we could just take a quick retroactive look on the first Short Shorts prop. It doesn't matter to me which one of you takes the question, but if you can just sort of give us a quick explanation of what that one was and what you guys did.
As a quick just aside, this is actually the third Noun Stories prop. Prop 20 right. was Sorry, the yeah. original Noun Stories prop, which resulted in the Wizard's Hat, which then got rolled into this program with Stupid Buddy and Walter Newman and Joel and myself. And so this is number
yeah,
three.
Yeah, good point. Mea culpa. You finally stumped Toadie. You did it live on Zero Pod. Boy. But yeah, okay, so Eric, maybe can you tell us a little bit about the first short shorts and how it culminated with the festival and just how it was working with all those artists?
Yeah, I mean, and actually we had done Prop 73, A Stupid Buddy. That was our first proposal, which was the Float in the Rose Parade and yeah. doing the documentary about that. The documentary is 99% done, which is very exciting to us. We're officially submitted to a couple select film festivals, including South by Southwest. So fingers crossed across the board there.
Nice.
You know what? I'll actually hand it over to Chris to talk about the first, sure. The first shorts program and, you know, why we got involved with that and, you know, how that all went down.
Yeah. I think just in our conversations with Goldie and Joel and Josh and you know, we knew that you know, and part of the reason we did the documentary honestly was the fun thing about Nouns is that at CC0 that there isn't this like canon. There's no sort of set sort of context for Nouns. It can live in lots of different places. And for us it was just like, well, what's a way that we can get a lot of different perspectives into Nouns, and what's a way we can really start to build out the community? I think a lot of people lately have been talking about, oh, why aren't we bringing more, onboarding more people into props? But I think that what they're missing is the people that are touched by the props that are passing. You know, the fact that this is 17 artists that we funded to make, in the case of our first short shorts prop, 15 second shorts,
yeah.
You know, those were 17 artists. Most of them had never been involved in crypto. Some of them were very skeptical of crypto. Certainly none of them knew anything about Nouns. We had to teach them all. Thank God for Joel, who patiently walked them through how to sign up for a wallet so they could get paid.
That's but awesome.
In US dollar coin, by the way, if you're listening to this, we're paying in US dollar coin, so people aren't being asked to, you know, bear the risk of, you know, fluctuating prices of ETH and all that. But, yeah. you know, it was really a way for us to onboard people into a community that felt like, really spoke to their interest, which was, hey, are you interested in making a short? We'll pay you to make the short. You can have all the rights to the short if you want, or you can make them CC0. And I think a testament to how enthusiastic all these artists end up becoming, we had two shorts that were 15 seconds. The rest of them were like 40 seconds, a minute, over a minute. Everyone way over delivered and went crazy. And yeah. even the ones that were 15 seconds were two of my favorites. I mean, Patagraphs.
And technically, Patagraphs was a loop, too. So you could also...
It's still going, yeah.
But that is the longest by far.
Infinity it seconds.
Yeah, Towner actually hasn't stopped watching it. So that is, I think we're now into... It's as long as The Hobbit. It's
Yeah, I see the reflection of his glasses there.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to like fund them to do more frames. Because like yeah. that thing could evolve. For yeah. a long time.
Yeah. It would be definitely fun to bring back. We were, Town and I were talking to Sam Cotton, who's one of our, the guys from the first Short Shorts. And
by the way, I was a big fan of his before I even saw that he was involved with Short Shorts.
Yeah.
I saw,
yeah.
he nice. Came across my TikTok feed and I was like obsessed with his stuff.
Yeah. yeah. He's fantastic. And again, like someone that had never even considered this path. And through that, he's met Rich Weber, who's another artist that we brought into this. And, and so all these artists are not talking to each other. And, but yeah, I think the idea was, you know, we all talk about the, what I call like the elasticity of the brand, the fact that Nouns can be so many things and it can express itself in so many ways. But I think that became real when we did our festival night at Braindead Studios in LA and simulcast it in Australia and at, Goldie's Studio Pixel. But I think people, like Noun 40 was there. By the way, Fox was there. There was a Netflix exec there. You know, people saw these shorts and it became not just an idea. It became like a concrete, tangible reality that Nouns worked as, you know, Ainsley did a really cute little kids thing with his 4-year-old son, right? And then you had Greeny, who had someone like snorting a chopped up ticket of Nouns and turning into a goat, like, but not turning into a goat, just his head turning into a goat, which again, for Greeny, like all of us take it for granted that it's like, it's not like you turn into a goat, it's just a goat head. He thought that was just fucking absurd. And he
brought
absurdity into his short. And it was like, so it was just so fun to see all of these different expressions, not just in terms of medium, but tone and audience, and but they all felt right, and they all felt right together. And I just don't think there's another brand out there that, aside from the funding, that's just that elastic and that works that well across formats. And it's a testament to, you know, the Nounders and just this idea generally, and then also just the design and how much it inspired a whole, you know, whole array of artists. So that was our experience. I think it's been seen by over 1 million people, you know, all the shorts combined. We let them obviously post on their own socials, which again is a way to expand reach so that it's not just going through our socials, you know, through Noun Stories.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was
that's
a great,
really cool.
Yeah. Tanner, what was your favorite part of that experience?
I just loved, like, every time a new short would come in, I was just so surprised and delighted. Like, they just all made me either smile or laugh, or, you know, or inspired me, like, in ways I wouldn't have thought of. Or it's like, even, you know, Ainsley's short was so touching and so great that we're now like, okay, how do we take this idea and this artist and like back him, give him more firepower to create great stuff? Because, you know, I mean, entertainment's entertainment, but it can also be the most influential thing out there is when you're watching something versus being told something, and it either makes you laugh or cry or whatever, that can be incredibly influential. And so I think as we're thinking of these proposals, and we understand it's a big ask, we understand it's ambitious, and we always put ourselves in the shoes of the voters and of the DAO, and you've got to ask, okay, what's really in this for the, why is this good for the DAO? Why does this make sense for Nouns? And I just so firmly believe that enabling artists to do this, but also having Nouns kind of be the brand sponsor of it and working in Noggles into the designs or working in the characters or some of the art that is a big part of Nouns, it just makes so much sense. Like, there's going to be, you know, hopefully, you know, if all goes well and according to plan, some pretty big cultural impact of what we're doing and what we're enabling people to do. And having the Noggles just be a part of each and every one of those films, that even on their own, as any of these artists are sharing on their social media, there's something that will get their audience to connect, whether they know it then and in the moment, or like later on, like thinking, oh, you know, I've seen that. What is that thing? You know, it's just kind of cool how these little like concentric circles just being planted all around the world can kind of spread and overlap and see each other grow or help each other grow.
One of the ways that I started framing Prop 397 as a voter is that, you know, if Nouns needs to spend, if that's, you know, if that's really our goal, is to spend and find big bets to take and proliferate the meme and fund public goods and do all these things, but do it faster than, you know, some financialized faction can come and, you know, arb the treasury away. Part of the way that we can do that efficiently is by allocating funds to certain, you know, pods or people who are experts in their field. And, you know, a good example of that is funding NarsDAO, because obviously Nars can do a better job within that subgenre of skateboarding, et cetera, than Nouns proper can do. And so it makes sense to sort of allocate those. And I started seeing your prop as the same type of thing. It's like, you know, it's like a $2 million or $1.7 million animation pod by Nouns with Stupid Buddy at the helm, and, you know, great builders like Joshua and Joel able to go out to artists and be like, hey, are you looking for a way to get your, you know, your animations funded? Because we've got this program and Stupid Buddy is involved. So it immediately has that reputational cachet. And for me, that's exciting, because I think you've already shown that you're able to attract really top talent that way. And I'm excited to see what kind of talent you attract in this next bigger round.
Yeah. And Walter's a big part of that. Walter Newman, too, who spent the last decade at Adult Swim with Mike Lazo and the whole team there, and was instrumental in developing Rick and Morty and just, you know, a host of other incredible shows, and has a deep talent network as well. So I think we've got certainly the right people to attract the animators. And I think you're right. I mean, look what happened with esports, and big ups to Sasquatch and yep. Brennan and that whole team. Like their Dota team just is rampaging through the championships there. And like, again, you know, that's an evolving landscape and a changing landscape. And I think that's another area where Nouns can over kind of punch above its weight, just in terms of its ability to fund teams and also rally a community around it. I've never cared about esports until Nouns got into it. Now I'm like, oh, this is awesome, man. I'm going to follow this team. So yeah, I think we can be a similar pod where, again, you know, for every dollar you put in, we're bringing in a bunch of people to get funded. And so in some ways we are like a distribution platform to get that money out and deployed to a ton of people from all over the world. We're really going to focus on making sure we get artists. Town and I were talking about this, artists from, you know, every continent. We're looking. If there's any animators in Antarctica, hit us up. We'd love to fund you. Or if someone wants to just move down there real quick, just so we can say we hit every continent. Yeah, I would love for us to.
There has to be an Antarctica, animation community somewhere.
So
you can call it Arctic. I don't know.
That's Arctic. Right. Antarctica.
There's a Reddit. There's a subreddit somewhere with that exact title.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I've just discovered the animation subreddit on Reddit, and I'm like, oh, this we did not utilize this last time, so we'll make sure we hit that nice. Too. Yeah.
Very cool. So this newer prop obviously is bigger than the last one. What are the big hairy goals for this initiative over the next year? Is it over the next year or over the next 6 months?
Next year. Yeah. Longer, like a few longer shorts. I think Walter in particular was really pushing for that in terms of just making sure, you know, with some of the short shorts, you get like tone and you get like a vibe. But I think with a 2 or 3 minute short, you can actually get a story and you can get more character. And, yeah. You know, saw that with Wizard's Hat. I think, you know, is there something that can emerge from this round of shorts that feels like the first Simpsons short or the first Rick and Morty short or the, you know, some of these shows that started as shorts, Crossing Swords for us on Hulu. So I think that's one component. Another component that we're talking about is theme. So maybe each round will have a theme, and we haven't landed exactly on what that is. Goldie's ideas was people, places, things, but maybe Towner's kicked around a few ideas to make that even more specific. So I think theming it so that each round feels like a little cohesive and it's tied together.
I really like people, places, and things because it's specific enough to kind of give it some, you know, to make things sort of feel similar, but it also gives them a lot of runway to do what they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think it's how do you keep it broad enough? Because what we loved about the first round was just all the different interpretations, and we don't want to get too narrow with what we.
Was there a prompt in that round or no? I can't remember.
No. All it was you have to put a noun in it, Noggles. You know, that's it.
Nice.
So, and then another big thing on this one is Stupid Buddy's going to be making shorts in this one. And so Mr. Towner here is going to make at least one of these, hopefully. And
creative itch. Itching
exactly.
That creative
exactly. Yeah. And it's like anytime Towner's given resource and not told what to do, usually good things have happened for
us. You can literally do anything you want. That's the mandate. Have fun.
Yeah, I'm dying to know what he's going to do.
Recreate Micro Mayhem. We're just going to put Noggles on the front of all the cars.
Right? I'm here for it. Well, there is that candidate prop for the sculptress to do the smallest Noggle sculpture ever made. So you could take his sculpture, put it on a micro machine. Now you got a stew going.
Exactly. Well, and I don't know if people know this, but if you watch the Rose Parade, Towner's wife Kiki wrote a couple of the theme songs that we ended up putting out for that. So maybe we will rope her into some of that as well, because she's the very Nounish herself. So yeah, I'm just really excited to see what Stupid Buddy does with Nouns. And obviously we've spent 2 years like deep diving into this world, and we have so much love for the community. And so, yeah, it'll be fun to make some cool stuff as part of this.
You do have some like dance choreography in you. I saw Mickey and Friends and they were hitting some moves in that one. So I know that you guys, you know, maybe some music, you know, will work out in the short.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. The last.
Yeah, if you haven't watched Trick or Treat yet, go to Disney Plus and watch Mickey Mouse Trick or Treat. It's really good. It's really
so fun.
How did this come
to be? The transformation scene, I love it. I love the transformation scene.
That thing
Josh, you're the best, man. You watched it. That's great.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I will for sure.
It's on Disney. I think it's on Disney Plus. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, Disney Plus. I think it's on Hulu as well. And it aired on Disney Junior and Disney as well.
Yeah.
How did that show come to be? I'd love to hear that backstory a little bit.
We've had a long relationship working with Disney. That originally was, it was a short that we did in stop motion. It's kind of the first time that Mickey Mouse was ever officially sanctioned to be interpreted in stop motion. So we got to be a part of that, which was really cool. There was a lot of R&D into like Mickey's ears and how when he turns his head, the ears always have to be facing at camera a certain way.
This is like the Noggles problem, actually.
100%. Like Noggles might not look like Noggles in profile, and Mickey Mouse's ears in stop motion don't look like his ears. So we came up with this whole like magnetic system. Like as he turns his head, the ears would actually continue to face camera. So that minute long, kind of commercial, you know, just turned out they just loved how it looked so much. So that led to doing.
You had to hire like DARPA to build the puppets for this thing.
Yeah, basically. Lots of inner workings going on there. But that led to doing a Christmas special last year, the Halloween special this year, some more shorts and things for the holidays this year. So just been a long lasting relationship where we get to work on some.
Yeah, it's
how
so
long
fun,
before you can really like, is. How long before you can like sneak some Noggles onto Donald Duck or something without them noticing?
Oh, man, I think it's like if one of those like people on the sidewalk had Noggles on, I don't know.
I don't think you would know. You know, I feel like there's a good history of Disney animators working things into the background.
I believe clouds are their main medium.
Yeah, the tasteful thing is to just put some
clouds and piles of leaves.
Yeah. You know, anything's possible. We're always thinking about nouns.
Yeah.
And if they challenge you on it, just be like, I don't know what you mean. He's just wearing glasses. It's very normal.
Yeah. last thing, just to finish off your question, Tony, the other thing is we just have a bigger budget for, first of all, we're going to be building a website. Joel is going to be building a website and,
awesome.
And Josh and team also just making sure publicity is stronger this time around. You know, we have budget for a publicist, which last time it was just us calling friends and, you know, the outlets that we know. And then also we just have a more robust budget for, the actual festival this time. So I'm sure we'll probably rope in Nouns on the Ground and but we want that to feel like a big event and hopefully
maybe we should live stream it on the Nouns Square this time too.
Yeah, 100% we should be part like you know an understated part of the proposal and something that could be culturally the most significant is the in-person event that we want to do, the in-person festival. I think anytime we can get people from the actual community or people outside the community to come together and experience, like we just saw it at Brain Dead, even on a smaller scale, like the significance and the importance of that. So doing that just in a way that really celebrates all things nounish, all things that are happening on the animation side and within the community. I think it's gonna, and also like how to make this event as absolutely nounish and fun as possible is something we're going to be spending a lot of time thinking about in the next couple of months.
Just think about this.
If we go to Annecy, the total population is 125K. We could have 10% of the population if we bring 10K Noggles out there. We'll get the fun frames by Clem and everyone, we'll get 10%. That's a fun stat.
If you're going to do that, I think you should do a town where you can literally do the whole town. Like it's going to be the only thing happening in this town in Ohio. on that day. And just everybody's wearing Noggles.
Everybody's wearing Noggles. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
Catch it on Google satellite view.
Sorry. I'm just saying, like, you know, I think to Eric's point, like, there's just so much cool stuff that could come with this, you know, meetup type energy and these like live events. So it's going to be fun. And I do think too, for this prop, something that's important to me is like the people doing it are funded to do the work. Right. Like, I think a lot of times there's this expectation for like people to do things on their free time. But when you get to a certain level in your career, like there's not that much free time. So if you want, you know, really smart people to think about this thing, like it's the right thing to do to like fund that time, because that even just thinking about it is work in itself. So I'm super excited to see how this all plays out. I think there's so much potential here.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to getting Chris and Eric's bill for this podcast. It's going to be the rest of our budget.
No, Tony, you always get us for free, Tony. You always get us for free.
Awesome. Any other forward-looking sort of projections for this? That's a very corporate way of putting it. I don't know why I said that.
Synergy.
Give us a rundown on Q4 for the short shorts, please.
We're going to circle back on this in about a year, and we'll see how we did. I don't think so. I just big thanks to everyone that voted on this prop. Big thanks to 4156 for sponsoring it and putting it on chain. And for people like Noun 40 who, have just been super important voices in the documentary and important voices in the community, but also like ask good questions and push back. And ultimately, I think through conversations ended up voting for it, but it was just like, I think that part of it was fun. It's fun to get pushback. It's fun to have people challenge your ideas. We definitely got feedback before we even put this on candidates. So for everyone that weighed in and just like Stupid Buddy in particular, I think, because we can speak for Stupid Buddy, not for Josh and Joel and Goldie and everybody, but the community has been great to us and shown us a lot of love, and we are very grateful.
Amazing. Well, that's probably a good sort of transitional point to talk a little bit about one of the reasons why 4156 said that he wanted to sponsor that prop, and one of the reasons why 40 voted for it as well. And that's because they're super excited about this documentary that you guys have been working on for over a year now. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think in my head.
Started shooting in June last year. Yeah. So
it's been pretty cool. Is it still called Nouns Around Town? I know that was a working title. I don't know if that's still the title.
It's got a different name. Are we putting the name out there yet, Towner? I don't know. I'll leave it to Towner.
Oh, geez.
Come on. Give me some alpha. Come on.
We're thinking of calling it Shark Pickle Cone.
I love it. Because those are the three nouns that were on the Rose Parade float, right?
Yeah. When we think it's weird enough that if you saw a movie called Shark Pickle Cone, you would at least be like, what the fuck is that?
You at least take the time to click do not like on Netflix. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love sharks and pickles, but I hate cones. I'm so conflicted.
You just can't win. You just can't win.
Yeah. We did a lot of market research, and the Venn diagram of things everyone loves is shark, pickles, and cones. So it's sure to appeal to everybody.
one for
those
food
in the middle is just.
Yeah.
That's actually what they're replacing. They're replacing the food pyramid with that, I think, actually.
Yeah, of course.
The three food groups.
If you're not eating shark, you're not getting the right kind of protein. I'll just say that right now. It's it's very important.
We probably have to cut that out in post. The environmentalists are going to come. I don't think you can eat shark.
There's an important question. Is it like spaces, commas, slashes? What's it?
You can always count on Joshua Fisher to dig deep and get the real answers.
I think it'll be dots. It's like shark. Yeah, shark.
The shark is Comic Sans. The cone is Papyrus. And pickle will probably be one of those really silly fonts.
You just say Comic Sans, Papyrus, and then the silly font?
Yeah, I don't know what the silly one. It's like that web dings or whatever. Where
silly font, Times New Roman.
Yes.
Exactly. It says cone, trust me.
Who uses that?
Helvetica.
Actually, there probably is a cone wingding, actually.
Those like YouTube pickup emojis?
No.
Like if you did shark pickle cone and it was like all emojis as the title.
Oh,
oh yeah.
I don't know if that's like cool or not cool, but
yes,
emojis in GIFs are my favorite. I can't help it.
Yeah, I mean GIFs, whatever.
Yeah, it's yeah, definitely it's GIFs. Actually, this is on my list to discuss. GIFs. So, is it GIF or is it GIF? We're gonna get to the bottom of this today.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to do like a global survey, I feel like it's still 50-50, right?
Like, oh, you mean a global world. a global survey?
A global. A global survey. That's funny.
I took a global survey, and 90% of people said it was GIF. So this documentary, which we just got the name for, or the new working title, which is exciting. So this also was born from a proposal, and it also meshed with the second proposal that Nouns on the Ground was involved with, to basically go and put on this amazing parade float at the Rose Parade. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that was like working with another prop builder and bringing that together? To hit the vision that you were hoping to hit for that piece of the documentary.
Yeah, I think that was just a great example of seeing different parts of the community kind of rally and come together for a common goal and a common vision. So, you know, we did through the documentary, we do get to follow Obtoshi's journey and what that was like from her perspective, which I think really helps kind of ground and humanize, you know, the DAO in an interesting way that anybody, really anybody, can be a part of this thing. And I think that, that was, that's really cool to see. So then, I mean, really the initial vision for this documentary and what we sort of, you know, as we put together the budget, we're like, oh, this is going to be a great, like 20-30 minute documentary. We're going to follow Stupid Buddy doing something they haven't done. And it's kind of interesting to get a look into like how you actually get a float into the parade. That was like the initial scope of it. But as we got into, you know, hundreds of interviews, and I think we had have like 50 or 60 days worth of interview footage and just footage from the community. Wow. It just was like, this is more.
When you said days, you mean like 24 hours of footage? Days.
Like you, it would take you 2 months to watch all of the footage if you did nothing else. You
how
know?
Do you do that? Like, to take a quick aside, I often wonder that about documentary filmmakers and like, just okay, to give you an example, like editing the podcast is difficult sometimes because you're just trying to take an hour and a half and sort of, you know, distill it down. I have no idea how you guys take like days of footage and find that clip that you thought
of. I mean, you could turn it into transcripts. You could turn it into transcripts and then search the transcripts. So that's
your editing is going to be really easy for this podcast. You're just going to cut it down to Towner saying you should do math. Like it's going to be a 5 second.
That's right. Yeah.
It's been a constant three line.
I'm pretty sure that AI could do it for me, this time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, really early on in the process, you know, Chris and I went out to New York and those were some of our first interviews. That's where we met Josh, interviewed him for the first time. Obtoshi met her for the first time. And we quickly realized like we haven't made a documentary and we're never like, we never hid that, but we did, you know, bring in Neil Berkley, who's an amazing documentary filmmaker. He did Harmontown, the Gilbert Godfrey documentary. If you haven't seen that, that's amazing.
I didn't know he was involved in Harmontown. That's cool.
Yeah. He did the Bear thing as well, which was.
Oh, and that's a great documentary. So, so he really did take the lead and like, and he's just such a, like, if we're doing anything, he's just what he's like, bust out his camera and he's immediately shooting it. And I think his instincts from a documentary filmmaker's perspective were super key, and how he keeps track of 60 days worth of footage and boils that down into what is looking like it'll be an hour long film.
Wow. So he must have like a running ledger in his head. He's like,
I think so. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So. Tuesday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And David's also producing on it. We have some editors but the thing, I don't think Towner may have known, I didn't really fully appreciate that a documentary is like the opposite of like scripted filmmaking, in that you shoot everything and then you write it. And so we've been editing this thing for 6 months, maybe a little more than 6 months, and it's gone through so many iterations, and it's a complex story. I mean, at the end of the day, like, the float part was the easy part, you know, that was very linear. But, you know, we always set out to make a documentary that you didn't have to be in the Nouns community to find it interesting. And so how do you not get bogged down in terminology that's very insider? And that's been a challenge. How do you make sure that people can kind of track all the different voices? And then there's a lot of people that are anonymous. So it's been really challenging. We've gone way over in terms of the time we thought it would require to make it, but we want it to be great. We want everyone to be proud of it. And most importantly, we want people that know nothing about Nouns or Stupid Buddy to still find it interesting and engaging and fun to watch. So
for all the Anon people, did you like pixelate them and give them like a voice modulator so they sound very terrifying?
No voice modulation. Wow. And thanks to Coral Orca, we're using some of his filters and working with Corey from Blue Xanadu.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so and
Arash too, right?
Most of graphics.
Arash is supplying some of his characters
Arash,
as well.
Arash supplied his game character, his Maya model for the game character, which may make it in. So everyone, you know, it's part of the cool thing of making something in Nouns is everybody kind of steps up and offers the help, and it's been really fun.
That kind of leads in a little bit to one of the other questions I had about the documentary, which is I wanted to ask what it's been like to work for a DAO as a client, because I think that's a question a lot of people probably wonder. Is like, it's hard enough sometimes to work for a studio or even an agency, but like, what's it like to work for, you know, someone once said about Nouns, like, how would you feel about working for a little bit less than usual for 10 times the normal amount of bosses or something like
that? Oh man, that's a great question. I think at first, I know, like, at first it was very difficult when Towner and I were going to go to NFC NYT. Fuck, and I say that wrong every time. NYC NFT NFT NYC.
We'll fix it in post. It's okay.
Trying to wrangle the people we were trying to interview, that's when it dawned on us. Like, there's no publicist, there's no HR person, there's no singular person that you can go to. And so that was very overwhelming at first. But we found a rhythm.
By the way, I'm going to cut that out, and I'm just going to like save it on my computer for every time someone like drops in a Discord and like, who's in charge of business development at the Nouns?
So exactly. Exactly. But once you embrace all of the various forms of, whether it's Twitter or I'm pretty big into Farcaster now, it's like you start to find that you just have to do a little more digging. You have to DM people. You have to hope they get back to you. Then again, everyone's offering to help. So it's like, oh, do you know Kevin Rose? Do you know this person? Do you know that person? And then sure enough, you get the introduction. And once people hear what you're doing. So that part of it was hard. And then I think also we come from an environment where you're getting very strict guidelines and notes. And there's a lot of like direct oversight over every stage of the process. And so having the freedom to make this documentary, we've definitely shared it with some people as we went along, just inside and outside of Nouns, just to kind of do a gut check of, if you're inside of Nouns, does this feel like it reflects what Nouns is all about? If you're outside, are you tracking this? Does it make sense? So, you know, that part of it, I think getting feedback has been helpful from people that are, you know, vocal and visible in the Nouns community.
What's the feedback been like from outside? I'm really curious to know what people think.
That's helped really refine and shape just the speed at which we convey certain fundamental information about what an NFT is, what a DAO is, what digital collectibles, those kind of things, is just making sure that they don't get lost in all of that. You know, Towner, are there other things that we took away from? I mean, some of it was just pacing and characterization.
Yeah, no, just a lot of it was that, because there is so much, you know, heavy information or maybe concepts that are outside of people's, you know, normal view of how the world should work. Like, these are some, you know, some pretty alien concepts. So just like how that information came across and what was too fast or what was too slow from the outside. That was our goal always and still is like, how do we make, you know, this a documentary that we can, you know, that our parents could watch, or, you know, or somebody just that has no idea what Nouns is or really what crypto is or what an NFT is or anything, and make it
digestible and exciting or interesting, or at least understandable. So I, you know, and that's been a really, you know, it's been a real threading that needle has been really challenging, but that's where a lot of the feedback's been so helpful.
There's a story I've told a few times, but it's worth telling here as well. One of my friends, it's a pretty close friend, and he cares a lot about me, but he just doesn't know anything about crypto. And he was asking me a little bit about Nouns one time, sort of just giving me some time to talk about it. And I started off, I was like, okay, well, there's one NFT minted every day. And I went on and tried to simplify it as much as I could. And I maybe talked for 2 minutes, and I could kind of tell he was a little bit lost. So I paused, and he says, he's like, okay, so you said mint. What's mint?
Right. Exactly. Like we're in the water, and what I hope, and a couple of the Nounders have shared this as well, is like, I hope that people, when especially people that are spending a lot of their life in this community, I hope they can just, when someone's like, what are you doing? I hope they can just show them this documentary, and that the people will be like, I get it. And because at the end of the day, like what most, the universal thing, if you don't care about crypto, you don't care about anything, this is a study, it's a game in how to organize, you know, large groups of people with differing ideas and different perspectives. How do you organize those and actually create actions that have results that are beneficial to the community and beneficial to the individuals? And you just happen to be using tools like the blockchain and NFTs and, to finance that. But what's really interesting about Nouns is there's just people from Africa, from Australia, from the US, from Europe, from Asia, from everywhere, all working together permissionlessly. And I think relevant. It's relevant to a world that is increasingly, it's more difficult for people to do that. So that's, I think the story we're landing on is more of just like, hey, whether you care about crypto or any of these things, look at this group of people that's actually funding nonprofit things and doing open source projects. And could this be a model for how we organize ourselves as NGOs, as anything going forward?
I definitely have way more friends around the world than before. Now.
Yeah.
Like I didn't feel like I could just go over to Australia and hang out, or like go to Japan and like hang out with people that like I already know.
That's really true. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Without traveling a lot, it would take a lot of travel to make as many friends as you can make in Nouns in a week.
Yeah. How cool is it that Altoshi can just be like, hey, I'm going to be in Germany tomorrow, and a bunch of people will be like, meet up with her, right? Like, so that community building and, but more than that, because you can have subreddits that do that, you have, but actually that can mobilize people and fund them to do interesting things.
And well, I think Seneca has described Nouns that way before. I think it's Seneca who said Nouns is like a subreddit with a bank account. And I've always thought that was a pretty good way of putting it.
That's a great way of putting it. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah. That might be in the doc, that quote.
Like this one right now?
Yeah. Or this one. But it's been really, Town and I have never done this, or built a float for that matter. Both things were harder, but way more fun than I think we even imagined they would be. So,
and you didn't even run anybody over either. Not fully anyway.
Thank God. We didn't run Josh over. Josh was out front.
He was out close. Only almost.
Yeah. My expectation was we would be moving along at like a tortoise's pace. And once you're going and like the adrenaline is flowing and it's like the crowd is there and everybody's cheering and going crazy, that fucking float sneaks up on you really fast if you're not paying attention. There's a few times I remember looking back and I'm like, oh, I got to walk at like, not just like stroll. We're like going, like this is a brisk pace that's happening.
This was not a short trip either. It's not like it goes down the block and then it's over. It's a pretty long walk, and there's people all along the whole thing. And, you know, there's little kids. I had a ton of fun because I would just like point out people that were excited and like point at them and like get them to do something. And like I was singing the songs the whole time. Like I was just really embracing it and having fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
There's anthropologists who think that humans used to hunt that way. You know, we would just chase our prey incessantly for like 4 days really slowly, and they would eventually just give up and die. So that's kind of what happened to Josh. He just was slowly chased.
fell over, but we had food waiting for him, hopefully, at the end of the whole
yes, thing. There was food trucks. Yeah.
It was fun, and it was so cool seeing the newscasters wearing the noggles and passing out noggles to all the people in the stands, and it was an amazing day. It was really fun.
It was a really beautiful day. The Winnebago didn't break down. The bookends of that day in California were so rarely rainy, like just wall to wall rain leading up to the morning of the parade, and then
by four
in the afternoon it started raining again. So I don't know how we got so lucky, but that was
The weather was perfect during the like, actual parade.
Nounish luck. The Nounish gods were with us.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Exactly. That would have ruined all the big Nounish costumes and everything.
Yeah.
When I was doing that, a lot of people would be like, what is that? And I like, there was a couple of times where I tried to like say stuff, and eventually I just said a digital art project. And I felt like that landed pretty well. I think that in one way, that's really what Nouns, you know, it's many things, but that piece of it is really important.
You should have just said shark pickle cone. Shark pickle cone. You would have made it in the documentary.
That's true.
It would have been great if Josh has asked the parade to stop every time someone asked, and he's like, "Well, there's this thing called an NFT, which is a non-fungible token." Right.
Sorry, what's?
Do you understand the difference between fungibility and non-fungibility?
Yeah. Want to go down a rabbit hole with me?
We put the fun in fungibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So quick aside about the float. So for a while, the noggles that were on the front of the float were, I think, the biggest noggles, like physical noggles that existed. That is not the case anymore. That's the one piece of the float that we had cut off and still have.
Nice. Steel frame.
We still have them, but they're big. They're robust.
Is that like a lizard? Like you can now regrow the float just using the noggles that you cut off?
No, that would be amazing. Soon though, with genetic engineering and CRISPR and all that, that'll all be a
thing.
That's
right.
But we have these huge noggles. We don't quite have the space to store them. Originally,
Should we raffle off your giant noggles?
We need ideas on what we should do with the noggles from the front of the float.
And how big
Nouns community, this is your chance to come up with some crazy idea of where we should put these huge noggles.
They are big and heavy. Originally, we were going to mount them on the wall at the studio, but everybody's like, you're going to kill somebody because eventually. Yeah.
I mean, Towner, what's your guess? What's your guess on weight?
Oh, on the weight? It's probably maybe 100 pounds.
Yeah, at least.
And they're probably what, like eight feet high or something, seven or eight feet
wide, maybe 3 or 4 feet tall.
Yeah, wow. Red. They're red, classic red.
They're basically like a large human-sized noggles.
Yeah,
they're the size of a large human.
Yeah. Yeah, if you took them on their side, it'd be taller than, probably taller than a human. Most humans.
So, do you deliver them with flowers on them?
There are still some seeds on them, yes. So
if you water them, you might be in luck.
You might be. You might.
Does anybody live near Mount Rushmore, by any chance?
That would be, oh my gosh, that's such a good idea, Tony. Just throw those on Abe Lincoln.
Actually, so gotta have to give credit to Grumplin. Grumplin had a really interesting idea about the Las Vegas Sphere, where he was like, we should just find an angle somewhere in Vegas where we could put a huge noggle up so that when you look at it from a certain angle, it looks like the sphere is always wearing noggles. So I don't know if these are big enough for that, but I guess it depends how far away you are.
Yeah, it depends on how far you are.
So maybe it can be done. If you're in Vegas, you can find a place.
Yeah, tell us your ideas, everyone. We got to figure out what to do with these giant noggles that can't go on our wall because they're too heavy.
That's cool. All right, so next step here for the doc, you mentioned that you've already submitted it to some of the festivals. How does that process work for people who are not familiar? It sounds like you've had to submit an obviously not fully done version for consideration.
Yeah. They're used to getting rough cuts. Like Towner said, it's the edit's really close. We still have VFX and things to do on it, but
I'm watching a pirated version right now. It says for your consideration on the bottom. Is that
yes? So how that works is you submit, and then by probably for the ones we've submitted to so far, early in the year we would know which ones we get into, and we'll just keep submitting. There's tons of documentary festivals. There's South By, there's Sundance, all those. So we have a whole list. Our agency, UTA, the good folks at UTA are helping us navigate all of that, since, again, we've not done that before. And we'll cross our fingers and hope the screeners at these festivals find this compelling enough to put in their lineup.
Yeah, and then our goal beyond festivals, I mean, festivals really help legitimize the project, the film, all of that stuff. Our goal remains to get it as seen as by as many people as possible. So our hope is that, you know, by way of festival, we'd find some legitimate distribution, so hopefully you'd find it on a popular streamer, or just, you know, it becomes really accessible to audiences everywhere.
Could do a drawposal and mint it. I mean, well, there's lots of ideas.
I'm curious, like, when you submit to these places, do you ever get feedback and then like apply it, or is it kind of just like yes or no?
I think it's yes or no. Yeah, because they're getting quite a few submissions, and
but they're not grading your paper. They're not good.
No, yeah, no notes. It's a thumbs up or thumbs down. That's it. And usually, if it's a thumbs down, it's not because they don't like the film. It's because they have a different agenda for their lineup, or, you know, it just doesn't fit what they're going for that year. It's rarely like this is bad, you know, bad film, something like that. So
what kind of categories are you submitting it for? I'm not familiar with a lot of the categories.
Oh, just documentary. Documentary. Just
documentary feature, which is pretty cool. Originally we're thinking documentary short, but because of the running time, feature it is.
What is that distinction? Is it like the hour mark, or is it,
I think it's 40 minutes.
Okay.
I think like that.
Thanks.
UTA. Cool. Knows all these,
I like the name a lot. That's really fun.
Yeah.
I think it's really absurd. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels nounish. It feels nounish. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody asked in the comments whether IP or CC0 is better, and we all probably have opinions on that. Towner, do you have thoughts on how you would answer that, IP versus CC0?
I mean, I think it's still TBD, right? Like the mm-hmm. CC0, I love the CC0 nature of Nouns and a lot of, you know, other NFT projects, Cryptodes, MFers, like like, why not? You know, it's so hard to regulate that stuff anyway. So I just love the idea of like building a brand around something that can be given away and used however people see fit. Like that just seems like a great way to proliferate something and get it out there. But when you're talking about like being Disney and, you know, running a business and keeping lights on and doing all the other things, like I also get like the needing to be able to control the rights and, you know, sell something. And, you know, if somebody's like using something of yours without permission, to crack down on them. So I think there's a you know, really a place for both to exist.
Yeah. Even within Nouns, I think one thing to dream about in the future is some Nouns show on Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or Adult Swim, right? That, you know, that could be its own thing that has its roots in Nouns, but that has copyrights and trademarks and people, that's the funnel point for somebody to be like, oh, what's this Nouns thing? And so I think even Nouns, I don't think everything that Nouns kicks off needs to be CC0. But I do think we're inspired by it, with the shorts and I think the ability that Nouns has to say to an artist, we'll pay for this, but you can do with this as you please. That is, Disney can't do that.
Yeah.
And Nike can't do that, right? But Nouns can do that. And so that's just part of its DNA and part of the culture of Nouns, as well as part of the way it's structured. So that's really cool. So I think
I mean, you think of like how Disney actually built their empire, and they used a lot of stories that were in the public domain.
Yeah,
you know, like
almost exclusively early on.
Almost exclusively, they're like, "What stories can we use for free, and then mm-hmm. take our spin on it?" But you couldn't, like Wizard of Oz, right? Anyone could do their interpretation of the Wizard of Oz, but you can't necessarily. But you know, when they made the original, those songs are now part of
you know, that copyright, that, that, you know, you can't use those songs. The same thing with nouns. If you think of like nouns as like, okay, this is a public domain artwork, anybody can use it. But then, if, you know, if somebody did want to, like Nickelodeon wanted to do the show with the noggles or the nouns or whatever, that of course they're going to want to own and control parts of that. But, I think this is part of the experiment. It'll be interesting to see where it all goes.
Have you guys ever considered like releasing all of the raw footage? Obviously the stuff that's like, you know, synonymous people, like maybe you could release it with the filters on already, but you know, I just think there's something really interesting about saying like, here's all this footage we captured, here's our version of the film, but like, and letting anyone tell that story with all those assets. I don't know how that would work, you know, if you're selling it, because I think, at least for me, like that number one goal is the most amount of people to see the thing. You can't get certain places without doing those rights deals, as you mentioned, because like even just like legally, like there has to be rights in place for them to use it in certain ways. So, but outside of that, like all that extra footage, does that all kind of automatically get wrapped up, or does that potentially some of that you could release to people and let them remix it and use it however they want, like if it wasn't used? Just thinking out loud here, because I'm always thinking about how do we build that foundation of like footage for people. There's like a dream that like college students can just use like just a huge dump of raw nounish footage to like make their, you know, experiments and stuff.
It's a really
good. We need cutting room floor.wtf, I think is what we need.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because there are so many fascinating interviews that may not have just fit the context of the story we're telling. Like we interviewed Balaji, you know, and we've got an hour like interview that could just be its own podcast on its own. It's like, that's a great episode of a podcast.
Well, if you're looking for a distribution partner for a Nounish podcast, I know a guy.
Okay. Yeah. Keep us posted with who that might be.
Yeah. It's a good thought, Josh. There's a ton of great content, and a lot of people gave up a lot of time to talk to us on multiple occasions. So I think when we get through this phase of the process and we kind of figure out where this home is for this thing, you know, I think there's definitely conversations to have around what to do with all the great content and so many like interesting people and things like that. And yeah,
you talked earlier, Chris, about things that Nouns can do that other studios can't. And to me, what Josh is suggesting has the potential to be a superpower for something like Nouns, because if the next people that go to make a documentary can just look back on how many days of footage?
A lot.
Is that 30 probably days 40, or whatever?
40, I think, or something like that, has last be checked.
If they can do that and you've like given them some kind of a permissive license to use some or all of that, I mean, that means that people can make something really incredible and repurpose that in new ways. And to me, that's kind of exciting.
It's already happened. We gave Goldie footage, and I know he's amazing. Used some of that footage, and vice versa. Goldie's been great.
And there's other experiments with like CC BY-SAW and like different Creative Commons licenses you could think about. So, you know, Nouns is so interesting because we get to even think about this type. Like there's like most cases you just be like, yeah, right. That's a non-starter. Sorry. One thing we haven't asked you guys about, I don't think, is how many walk around nouns are still in action?
You make it sound like they're like in battle. Like how many have come back?
They're
from
just
the
walking.
War?
They're still walking around. All six of them are ready to go.
They're walking around. Yeah. There's six amazing costumes that are
cryogenically frozen.
Cryogenically frozen.
Unnecessary, but yeah.
If you've seen Demolition Man, that's exactly what's happened to our Nouns costumes, and they're I think just waiting to be thawed out for the right event.
I haven't seen Demolition Man, but I've seen Encino Man. Same thing?
Same thing.
I just had a funny idea about the camcorder now, where he's like sitting around like real depressed because like no one uses camcorders anymore. He's just like seeing everyone use their phone as a camera, and he's just like, damn, like my day has passed. I'm like, oh, you know.
That's hilarious. No, but we actually, funny story, we actually shot some of the documentary footage using camcorders and like old school devices. So there's just to like vary the footage. We did a lot of this, the Riverside chats, and even Zoom before we started using Riverside. So once we sort of embraced the just the variety of ways that we can capture footage. And
you should do an ad spot for Microsoft. No, wait, who owns Zoom? Their own thing, right? If you could be like Zoom. Sometimes we even use Zoom. Yeah. Be a good...
when all else fails, I guess we can use
when
Zoom.
We have to.
When 4K Zoom. Doesn't matter.
Zoom, it was a pandemic.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, one other thing I did want to touch on quickly, we're a bit over time, and I know you guys have probably really important work to do, like finishing the documentary, et cetera. So I don't want to take too much more of your time. But when Josh mentioned CC0, it sort of triggered me that I wanted to ask you about what it was like working with all of the different artists on the short shorts and sort of trying to introduce them to CC0. And I know you were actually quite successful in convincing many of them to give it a try as an experiment. What was that like? And what was their, what was their feedback like on that process?
Well, first of all, I gotta say, really Joel spearheaded a lot of the conversations around A, just helping people set their wallets up, and B, talking to them about CC0. So, big thanks to Joel for doing just generally. Joel was a superstar in that first short shorts thing. But I think because they had been given so little constraints, the artists, that by the end of that process, and this time we're going to do a much better job of talking about all these things up front. I think the like minting and all the things that we were like, oh, by the way, do you want to do this? And they're like, what? But I think people sort of just embraced this as an experiment. And I think that we had built so much trust by that point. And they had seen that who else was doing it and all that. But Joel would probably be the best one to answer that question because he really was on the front lines. I don't know, Towner, if you have any perspective there.
I was surprised and kind of so happy with how many of the artists decided, yeah, CC0, let's give it a shot. Yeah. And I think it'll be... Yeah, it'll be the same. We'll take the same approach this time, and Joel will definitely be a lot of the spearheading those conversations, and hopefully we get similar results. But again, leaving it kind of up to the artists what they want to do with the CC0 of it.
Yeah, I feel like Zora Protocol Rewards opens up a whole new area that you guys can sort of experiment with too. Is just say, make this mint free, we can really push it and just see how popular it is. Because if people are at that festival and you just say, if you like this, and mint it for free, these artists could be getting 2, 3, 4, 10 ETH just over time from people.
We're getting a really close to wallet abstraction too, where like people are going to be able to just sign up to Zora with an email and mint.
Yeah, be huge. That'll be huge. I think just that process is such a barrier to entry right now. And I think the stuff that Zora is doing to make it much more consumer facing and consumer friendly, as well as artist friendly, not like just to be able to set these things up without really needing to do anything more complicated than sign up for like a Gmail account. Right. Like that's the goal is frictionless.
They're actually going to be implementing pretty soon mint with meth too, which is going to be a pretty big unlock.
I don't think Jacob's going to like it. You better cut that one.
You mean mint flavored meth? Love this.
Yeah.
No. Meth is just short for minting ETH.
And maybe no, yes, meth. Yes. Oh, got it.
Okay. Unwrapped ETH.
The meth that's
minted. New form of wrapped ETH.
It's like, you got to breathe. Like that's just what we do now. Like who's got the time to brief?
Yeah.
Well, guys, I appreciate your time always. It's always fun chatting with you guys. I wanted to ask one more thing. I'm wondering if we could all re-noglify for a second and just take kind of a snapshot that maybe we can use for the YouTube.
Let's nog up.
How many pairs of noggles should I wear?
How many do you got?
There's a guy on TikTok who does this bit where he's pretending to have a podcast. And one of the things he does is he always starts the clip with like 3 pairs of reading glasses on. As the interview goes on, he'll take one pair off and he's still wearing glasses. Such a stupid bit. That's really good.
That's awesome. Wait. Hold on, Tony. This one's for you. Switch my hat.
Coors Light sponsorship too.
Hey. There
you go.
All right. Are we noggles?
We're doing like double noggles. We're doing triple noggles. Oh,
a little crypto. Yeah. There,
now everybody but Chris smile, because it doesn't matter at this point if Chris is smiling. Can't see his face anyways. Awesome. All right. Well, on that note, on that ridiculous note, appreciate you guys so much. I honestly cannot wait to see the doc. I'm super excited for it to come out. So please send it to my Gmail directly when it's finished, so that I can.
We'll mainline it to you, Tony. We'll mainline it to you.
Mainline.
We'll send you a copy, Tony.
In your van, right?
Yes.
In the Winnebago.
Yeah. See you later, everyone. See you later, everyone.
I didn't know we were having a swag off. I didn't come prepared.
Go Gammy.
Oh my god.
That's a pretty good one.
Oh, wait.
I got this exclusive
Sedina Rose Parade football.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah. Well, I was about to go get my frog. Okay, there's no point now. I'm just stepping out swags in my own arena.
All right. I gotta go, guys, but
yeah. See you guys. See ya. Thanks so much.
It's fun.
Really fun. Talk to you soon.